He's the number one best-selling author of Conversations with Millionaires. He's changed hundreds of thousands of lives. You're about to experience a show that can help change your life and your finances. Welcome to the Mike Littman Show.
Today we're shaking, baking, moving, sliding. Today I bring you an extraordinary entrepreneur. Listen to this. He's one of the top entrepreneurs in the country, helping thousands and thousands of small business owners pave their way to massive success. Tonight, my friend, he shares his secrets with you. Who am I talking about? Well, you'll find out next on The Mike Littman Show. It starts right now.
You're listening to the most electrifying success show on the air today. The Mike Littman Show with your host, Mike Littman.
If P.T. Barnum Circus is not playing in your town, then this is the greatest show on earth. Hello, everybody. My name is Mike Littman. I'll be your host. I'll be your guide. I'll be your facilitator of greatness each week here on The Mike Littman Show, where we don't bring you people doing ordinary, but extraordinary things. There is a business, success, mindset, athletics. Could the list of recent Mike Littman guests get any bigger and bigger? Any more life transformational? Tonight, my friend, I have a treat for you. I have a treasure for you. And it will be my absolute pleasure to bring an extraordinary entrepreneur to the Mike Littman dance floor in just a moment. But first off, let's get to a few administration things right off the bat. I want to say hello to my wife, the first lady of radio. You know who you are. A big, huge, inspirational part of this dance here each week. Secondly, let's dive right into today's Coach's Corner. Today's Coach's Corner is brought to you by SuccessCoaching.com, one of the leading success websites on the internet today. I am holding in front of the golden Mike Littman microphone a question from Michelle Dargan down there in Miami, Florida. Michelle, she wrote a lengthy question here, so let me paraphrase her. Michelle's been an employee most of her life, and she's trying to go out on her own, and she's talking about perfectionism is just destroying her. It's holding her hands behind her back. It's holding her goals and her dreams hostage. Michelle, I was there for 6 years of my own life. Michelle, listen to me. The model that changed everything for me that I learned 15 years ago was that you don't have to get it right. You just have to get it going. It's a life philosophy that you don't have to get it right. You just have to get it going. And Michelle, and the thousands of others with the same challenge, if you buy into this philosophy and you get going small steps and get the ball moving, you will find that you'll be able to create massive results by taking consistent action, and you can change everything. So, Michelle, thank you for this incredible question. And always remember, Michelle, that you don't have to get it right. You just have to get it going. And that will be all for this week's Coach's Corner. If I sound extra pumped up, you're like, Mike, I know you always have a peach Snapple there. But today, my friend, on this dance floor today, I got two peach Snapples here, and I'm almost done with a quarter of the first one. Why is that? I'm about to bring you an extraordinary individual. I'm about to bring you an extraordinary entrepreneur. I'm about to bring you an extraordinary story. I'm about to bring you an extraordinary display of what's possible when you get going and you have a passion and do some amazing things. Today, my friend, I bring you the great Bedros Koulian, one of the top fitness entrepreneurs in the world, an individual who's transforming the lives of thousands of small business owners. And a story that will inspire you, that will motivate you, and will give you a kick in the backside to help you reach your dreams and reach your goals. We're going to hit to a commercial break right now, my friend. I'm telling you this. We're going to really get into the success sauna here in a moment. I don't know if you feel it, but it's steaming up. So go get a wet towel, wet the ends. You're going to have to stay refreshed today. Go grab your favorite beverage. And always remember that you're listening to the fastest and most profitable 27 minutes on the air today, The Mike Littman Show. 27 minutes that are changing the world. The great Bedros Koulian, he's next. You stay right there.
You're listening to the most electrifying success show on the air today, The Mike Littman Show.
Do you advertise online? Are you looking for more leads and traffic? One of the fastest and most powerful forms of lead generation online is email marketing. Prosperity Publishing has helped many companies in the home business, wealth building, self-help, and the health field generate an enormous amount of online leads. Prosperity Publishing represents many of the leading online newsletters on the internet today. Go to prosperity-publishing.com and get a free consultation. Mention you heard about them on the Mike Littman Show for a special discount. That's prosperity-publishing.com.
Welcome back to the Mike Littman Show. And now, Mike Littman.
We're shaking, baking, moving, sliding before the break. I told you about an incredible entrepreneur, Bedros Cooley, and my dime, your dance floor. Welcome to the Mike Littman Show.
Hey, Mike, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
My audience is so pumped up and excited you're here, and I'm sharing with people today. You run multiple seven-figure businesses. What you've created is helping thousands and really tens of thousands of people. We'll get to that in a bit. But your story didn't start there. You didn't start on the yellow brick road. Let's lay a bedrock here, a foundation here for our dance today. Let's bring us back to where did you start? How did all this come together, and we'll dance from there?
Well, you know, all this came together because my dad, a former communist in Armenia in the 1980s, actually 1980, made the decision that we're going to defect and come to the United States and actually live the American dream. And he had never been here before. He had only heard of America. One thing he did know for sure is that he was anti-communism, yet he was a card-carrying member of the Communist Party, not because he wanted to be, simply because he worked his way up in his job, and at a certain point, you become a member, and of course, you get to police everybody else. Well, he was the only guy, my mom says, that she knew that would leave his red card at home. He had no desire to police people. He had no desire to bust into your house and tell you what you're doing wrong, and he just wanted to live his life, and he was one of those forward-thinking people. He was a democratic-thinking person in a communist country, if you can imagine that. And so, ultimately, about in July of 1980, my brother was supposed to go into the Red Army, and of course, my dad was in a panic. Once you go into the Red Army, you're there for 4 years, and you know, you're out there serving in Siberia or somewhere. And I was 6 years old, and my dad at the time put together $25,000 and made as many connections as he could, being a member of the party, to work his way up, and ultimately walked into the general's office and said, "Hey, here's $25,000. I don't want my son to go to the military." And he had no idea whether he was going to be arrested there or not. And the guy just took the money, put it in his drawer, and said, "Well, what is your plan?" He said, "I'm going to America." And the guy said, "All right, I'll introduce you to somebody." Within days, the orders were set in place for us to defect and fly into New York, and then from there fly into California. And of course, being a six-year-old kid, we moved from apartment to apartment. Family of five, we only had a couple $100 in our pocket. They strip you of all your money and all your belongings when you leave the communist country because you're essentially a hater of their philosophy. And so my mom, dad, brother, sister, all older than me, of course, had multiple jobs, and I was the kid in the apartment causing trouble. And, every time we'd get kicked out, we'd have to move to a new city. And unbeknownst to me, the skill of building rapport and building relationships started to build early in me since I went to, two or three elementary schools, two junior highs, and two high schools. And so I kept having to make new friends, and it became really easy for me to build rapport and make conversation with people. Later on, of course, I would use that skill in sales and marketing and just building natural, healthy relationships with people. So anyway, lo and behold, I became a personal trainer, realized that that's what I want to do. I want to change people's lives. And of course, I was a lousy personal trainer at that. I had a certification, but I had no clients. And so since I was big and strong, I decided to work as a bouncer at a nightclub. And it wasn't what I wanted to do. I'm not a fighter. I don't like violence. And so that really held my feet to the fire to figure out the business of personal training so that I could be a personal trainer full-time. One of the three clients that I had actually, I think, took mercy on me, and he handed me a Tom Hopkins sales tape one day, and he said, "Hey, listen to the sales tape. It'll help you." I said, "Sure, fine, no problem." Of course, I listened to the sales tape, and that kind of opened my eyes into selling. I realized that the three clients that I had were not because I sold them into personal training, but it was because I was the order taker. They simply showed up wanting personal training. They knew what they wanted, for how much and for how long, and I simply took the order. So once I realized there's a way to convert people to become the assistant buyer and to help people move them into action, I realized that, gosh, I've got this skill where when someone sits in front of me, I've got a good chance of closing 50, 60, 70% of them into a program of mine. Well, Tom Hopkins led to Brian Tracy. Brian Tracy led to Zig Ziglar. Zig Ziglar leads to Dan Kennedy. Dan Kennedy leads to Jay Abraham. And before you know it, I've mastered marketing and sales in my industry. And by this point, we're right around 1999, 2000. But I thought, hey, the internet's doing really well here. Let me go ahead and try to start an internet business. And so I started selling supplements out of my apartment. And what I didn't know about supplements, and maybe the listeners don't know this either, but, well, they expire. And this is before Google was, before search engine optimization, before you can buy traffic or any of that. And so my dilemma was that I had this spare bedroom in my apartment full of supplements that would expire, and I'd throw them out, and I'd go charge up my credit cards again to buy more supplements. And before I knew it, I was no longer in an apartment. I was living out of a 79 Toyota pickup. And I said, all right, well, my internet business failed. That just means that's one way it doesn't work. But what a client of mine told me, that same client, ironically, was, hey, what you've got to do is make a little bit of money from a lot of people and sell information. And so at this point, I was already working my way back into personal training and had successful locations, in fact, multiple locations, personal training studios. And so I thought, gosh, I'll start creating software for personal trainers to use, and that kind of led into becoming a coach and consultant to fitness professionals. And today, I've helped thousands of personal trainers get to six and multiple six figures in income, and a good handful even achieve seven figures, which is something that I'm really proud of.
The story is incredible, Bedros, and it shows people that if you put your mind to something, you get moving, amazing things can happen. Now, I could imagine here, you're a six-year-old kid coming to America from Russia, from communist Russia here. I could imagine there that there are beliefs, especially around money, that in a communist country can really derail you in a freedom country like America, and et cetera. There's someone listening right now that obviously didn't come from a communist country, but that came from conditioning and programming that is really stifling their financial advancement. So two questions here, we'll just expand on this. Was money beliefs and your relationship with money, was that positive? Was that corroded? And how, if that was the answer, how have you moved forward to having a healthy relationship with money? Because I know there's a lot of people listening right now with that same challenge.
That's a really good question, Mike. And I've got to tell you, my relationship with money was simply tainted. It was skewed, it was sick, and it was unhealthy. It was simply because, how do you draw the picture to someone if this has never happened to you? But I'll do my best. Imagine being 4 or 5 years old, and all of a sudden the door opening up of your house in Armenia. And my parents were doing well in Armenia, and people inspecting the house. They were checking to see, my dad was a tailor, and checking to see if he stole any material from the fabrication center so he could make suits on the side and sell them. And so you literally have to line up in the hallway, the whole family against the wall, while these people, strangers, check your house, simply because someone had a belief or a thought that maybe your father stole some material or some chalk or some thread. And so the family was used to hiding money, hiding material, hiding things from the man. And so that belief system was embedded in me early in life. We lived in a state of scarcity, in a state of constantly wanting, but never really having. And so, of course, that's multiplied now when you come to America completely broke. I mean, I know what it's like to be broke, Mike, and I know what it's like to be poor. And I was broke and poor. And I say broke and poor because I'll never be poor again, because poor is a state of mind. Broke is something that happens when you make bad financial decisions. God forbid I may make some bad decisions down the road here and be broke again. But I will bounce back from that. But I'll never be poor again. And you can imagine when we come to America, of course, we're living off, dumpster diving, essentially. My dad throws me in the dumpsters behind grocery stores, and there's plenty of good food that have expired, but they're not rotten, and we'd pick them out and we'd eat them. It wasn't so bad. I know it sounds bad, but it really wasn't. Packaged up foods, and my mom would cook them up, and they had multiple jobs, and we lived a very lean life, but there was always this need for money. We would always run out of month before we'd run out of money. Run out of money before we'd run out of month. And I would hear my dad say that all the time, and it started to make sense as I got older, when I was 9, 10, 11 years old. And so my whole perspective about money was, gosh, it's never available, it's never there. When you have it, you got to hold on to it. And even today, Mike, my dad has something like $31,000 or $37,000 cash buried in his backyard in a Folgers can because he refuses to use the banking system because of the beliefs that he had from the country he came from. And so he instilled that in me. But I had to override that, and it took many years to override that, and it took a lot of information to override that to realize that money's not bad. Money is what allows me and my wife now to adopt 8 kids through Compassion International. It's such an awesome thing. It allows me to be one of the biggest contributors to Shriners Children's Hospital. It also is a vehicle to freedom. When you distill it down, money is a vehicle to freedom. That's it. It's what keeps my kid out of daycare so that my wife can stay home with them. And when you look at money as just a vehicle to freedom and not a bad, evil thing that's hard to come by, well, tomorrow if they change currency into rocks or pebbles or marbles, I'll just start collecting that form of currency so that I can have the freedom that I currently have.
I want you to expand on this here because you're listening right now, my dear and valued listener, and there's a few things that Bedros is saying that's really important that you get. Because some people listen right now with 38, 48, 58, 68, maybe 88. And they're unfortunately thinking, you know, with the challenging economy and this or that, they're thinking of instant gratification. They're thinking of, you know, fast results. And there's a time for that. But Bedros is using the words, it took me a while to override these beliefs. He said this was a process. And it's very important, Bedros, I always say this, that every level of income, it demands a different you. And I'd like to know if you want to, like you to comment on it, but also say to the listener here that success is a process. We've heard it's a journey. And obviously you didn't at, you know, 18, 20, as you progressed over the years, you've grown into this person. So what would you just say to someone who, you know, has had some challenges, has had a hard time getting started, about the importance of patience, being easier on yourself, and realizing that every step forward is really a big deal?
You know, that's so critical, I got to tell you, because like you said, every level of income is a new you, just like you said there. And that new you happens because you evolve and because you invest in knowledge and you surround yourself with people that you want to be like. And I learned that quickly when all of a sudden, because unbeknownst to me, my personal training clients were also the best mentors I can have, because typically personal training clients, you know, usually do well and they're financially stable and they're business entrepreneurs, et cetera. And so I had built-in mentors, and I would pick their mind during that personal training session. In fact, I still feel I owe them money versus them paying me for the personal training. And they referred me to books and products. For example, Psycho-Cybernetics. I read that twice a year now. Well, these days I listen to it on audio. But it's one of those things where you have to take it step by step. In other words, I'll have a bad day sometimes. Look, I'm 37 years old. I've got a really good life. I'm very blessed. I'm very thankful. But guess what? I'm also human, and I'll have a bad day, and my mind goes into that dark space. I don't know how many people would truthfully tell you that, but I will stand here and tell you that. My mind goes into that dark space. And what I will do is two things. One, go back to the programs and people who I feel good about. In other words, I'll hang out with the people who make me feel better, which is people who I want to be like, giving people who are doing well and who live in a life of abundance. And number two, I'll go back to Psycho-Cybernetics or Standing on the Shoulders of Giants from Tony Robbins. Those are the two things I always kind of go back to. And each time, I find a new gem in them. Depending on how I'm feeling that day, I'll find a new gem that will speak to me. And I'll go, okay, what am I doing? I need to go back and focus on others instead of focusing on my problems. Gosh, wow, look at a problem I have. I live in Southern California on a one-acre estate. I've got multiple seven-figure income stream. And I'm griping about whatever. Like, what about the guy who's paralyzed, who's in the hospital bed, and, he has to eat through tubes. He's got problems. I don't have problems. So part of this other thing is to take things into perspective. When you think you've got problems, think about that soldier who just got his leg blown off, and he's going to come here and have to start a whole new life at the age of 30 or 20s. You know, you don't have a problem. That guy has a problem. And when you can put things into perspective and go back to the one or two things that always seem to kind of ground you, for me, it's being around the people that I respect and honor the most and listening to audio programs or reading books that kind of take me back into my place of living in abundance and thinking for others rather than thinking for myself. And if I don't do that every day, I will fall back into my traditional hard programming, which is what got programmed into me by mom and dad. They're not bad. That's all they knew. They knew scarcity. They knew money was bad. They lived in greed, fear, and stress. And I will forever live into that. And I have that programming in me. I will forever have that in me. But I can always override it with new knowledge and new content as long as I'm seeking it out. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense here. And I got a page and a half of notes here. I want to go back on a few things here. I just want to touch on this before we move forward because, you know, you shared the, I don't know the exact words you used, but back in Russia, you know, knocked on your door at the age of 4 or 5, coming to America, you know, parents burying money and this person's bad and this is bad. One of the biggest challenges that I see and something that I had to evolve with over the years with similar just bad beliefs is the power of words. The words we believe, the words we use, the words that are around us. And I would have to say to you that over the course of your life, the words you use, the vocabulary that's used around you has upgraded. You know, there's words you're using today in business that 5 years ago you might not have knew, a year ago might have been newer to you, and 10 years ago was foreign to you. Talk about the power of upgrading your vocabulary, your words, and the power of words and how powerful they are both in bringing you back or advancing you forward.
Well, that's a really easy statement to say because, you know, we've all heard the saying, the pen is mightier than the sword, and simply because the pen can write words that can either start wars or end wars. And what people don't realize is words have the power of influence. They have the power of making, driving people to decision. And the more clear you can be with your words, the more eloquent you can be with your words, the greater your vocabulary, the better you can say what's on your mind without frustration, without uncertainty, and being crystal clear. And when I didn't have an expanded vocabulary, I felt this sense of frustration, the sense of the person across from me doesn't understand what I'm saying. I felt tongue-tied when I wanted to get a message across. Now, it's not like I sat there and read the dictionary. What I simply did is, again, surround myself with people I want to be like. People who had the vocabulary, who had the income, who had the lifestyle, and I would literally, you know, just absorb that information from them. I would read the books that resonated most with me on business, on mindset, on success. And within those books were words that obviously I then adopted into my vocabulary. And all of a sudden I realized, gosh, I'm never a loss for words. I never have this anxiety or frustration that someone can't understand me because I can say what's on my mind clearly, precisely, and to the point. And to me, that's priceless because ultimately, at the end of the day, words are what sell, words are what motivate, and words are what completely can crush somebody's spirit if the wrong words were to leave your mouth.
What Bedros just said here, guys, I want you to grab this. He used the word, he used the word that he adopted new words. And that's something that I believe and I've taught over the years is like, if I want to get to the next level, you can almost hijack or adopt new words and your new words can create a new reality for you. So that's a really powerful point there that Bedros shared. And we'll get to self-education in a little bit, but this, hear the repetitive patterns that Bedros is saying here. It's a formula. It's a pattern. It's the mechanics of really financial freedom and really personal abundance and personal fulfillment here. You went back here to a point in the 1940s or so. Elmer Wheeler, one of the top salesmen in America, said, the most selfish way to be is to be unselfish. And you made a point here when you're talking about focusing on others. I'd like you to expand on this because it's worth 4 years in an MBA, an entrepreneurial MBA, is that you talked about when you're not focused on others, you kind of, I don't want to put words in your mouth, so I'll let you expand on this, but you kind of go inward, back to the hard programming, you know, the tainted stuff. And there's people listening now that have too much of that inward focus. They don't have the focus on service, the focus on value, the focus on others, the focus on a target market. I'd just like you to comment on the importance of that because what you're saying here is that when you're not focused in the right way, you use the words having the right perspective, you kind of go back into old patterns. And if you have a lack of self-awareness, which you have that awareness because you can isolate when you go back to that bad place, talk about the importance of self-awareness. Talk about the importance of service, of value, focusing on others, because that point we can't remiss here.
Well, let me just start off by saying that all of us have this hard programming. So imagine if we're all just human computers, and whatever mom and dad gave you, whatever that babysitter gave you, whatever whoever gave you, Uncle Lou gave you, and I don't mean to sound sick here, but whatever bad thing happened to you, first of all, that was your hard programming as a kid. You can't do anything about that. Accept it. It's there. You're a computer, and it's there. unlike a computer that has a virus where you can actually remove the virus, imagine on our hard drives, all we can do is constantly override that virus. And the minute we stop overriding that virus, the new knowledge goes away and the virus makes its way up to the surface. And again, if you come from a place of scarcity or a place of need and greed for money, then you go back to that place. If you come from a place of fear, then you go back to that place, if whatever was instilled in you. So in my case, it was just a need of money, a bad relationship with money, living in lack. So what do? I say, hey, look, I can produce money out of thin air. All I have to do is stop thinking about myself and my need for money and think of others who need it more than me. So I give without expectation. And I truly believe if you want to be a value adder to people's lives and not a value extractor, you have to give. See, people get that concept. They go, well, I understand. If I give, then, of course, reciprocity, I'll get back. Yeah, okay, great, I got that part. However, if you give with that expectation, truly from the heart, you get so much more back. So it truly is the most selfish way to live, because when I think about myself and my need and want for money and success and freedom, et cetera, well, then I start going into that downward spiral because my heart programming takes over and starts controlling my thought patterns. However, if I give with that expectation, my only goal is to add value to people's lives. It's to help the kids that we've adopted. It's to help the hospitals that I feel so deeply for. Then I realize, gosh, I need to produce wealth, not necessarily for me, but to keep adopting more kids through Compassion International, to keep giving more to Shriners, because it feels good. And if it feels good, I want to do more of it. And before you know it, it really becomes your new core programming. And sure, you have to always override what you have, and you do that by, again, the knowledge, seeking out knowledge, staying around people who are more like you want to be like, and not the old friends. Because I've had to, by the way, Mike, I've had to cut out friends out of my life. These were friends who didn't understand why I wanted to be an entrepreneur. These are friends who didn't understand why I wanted this level of freedom, and their whole thing was, hey, why don't you just get a 9-to-5 job and just do what we do, you know, paint stripes on the city streets like we do, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that wasn't for me, and so I had to cut them out of my life because everybody is very pliable. We're influenceable, and if you let people influence your mind in that way, at nights you're reading success books, but during the day you're hanging out with friends who are trying to make you civil employees, which, again, nothing wrong with that, but it wasn't for me, and I'm guessing if someone's listening to this, it's not for them. Then you've got to cut those people out of your life. It's a harsh thing to do. I did it, and I surrounded myself with successful people, and I'm much better off for it.
You know, it's so important. You're listening right now, and this is something that I can totally relate to because I've had to do this the same thing back when I wanted to move forward. Guys, you need to have that intestinal fortitude. You need to have that courage to be able to create the environment that best uplifts you, best motivates you, best inspires you. And what you just heard from Bejos is exactly one of those tough decisions. And leaving some friends, leaving a friend, getting some new name, dumping some numbers out of your cell phone, adding some new people in that you meet. It's really important stuff. Bejos, let me shift gears here. You teach, inspire, train, mentor thousands of small business owners all around the world, I believe. And in looking at some of your material and watching you do stuff, etc., you talk about this concept of imperfect activity. I think that this concept is critical, especially to my audience, especially to people looking to get going. What exactly is the challenge? What exactly is imperfect activity all about?
Everybody, including myself at some point, sits around and says, I will leave my job and start my business when this, this, and this happens. In other words, when things are perfect. I won't launch my website until this, this, and this happens when things are perfect. I won't start my weight loss process until this, this, and this happens when things are perfect. And so while we sit there and wait for perfect to happen, life speeds past us, and we sit there in the same place that we are, spinning our wheels. What I found is if you can just take imperfect action, you say, hey, I want to lose weight, don't wait to get tennis shoes, don't wait to get your diet pills, whatever. Go out and start walking. You have some shoes in the cupboard, pull them out, go out there and start walking. You want to start making money? Go online and see what there is to make money. Do the search. Buy the information product. You don't have money to make a website? That's okay. There's services to make free websites for you. You don't have what video hosting accounts? YouTube and Vimeo is free. You know, you don't have access to mindset stuff? That's okay. You know, go to a million websites. Just type into Google success and mindset information, and you'll get more audio and reading products for free than ever. don't wait for perfection. You don't have to wait till you have money on your credit card so that you can order the 10-disc DVDs from Tony Robbins through Amazon before your life can be perfect. Take imperfect action today. That will lead to perfection, because once you take imperfect action, then you can course correct as you go. And I'll give you a great example. One of my products is called FitPro Newsletter. It's basically a email, done-for-you email service for personal trainers. Now, this is where ignorance is completely bliss. I had no idea that when you're creating software that's going to mail out thousands of emails at once, that that's considered spam. I had no idea that you need something called Strong Mail, which at the time cost $27,000, to make this software send out mass emails without being marked as spam. So we created the software and got our first 29 people, trainers, on board. We certainly took imperfect action. I went online, I found programmers in India, they pieced the software together, I wrote the sales copy, and voila, it was out there. Now, by our 29th client, the software started to seize up and the emails were not being delivered. I had two options. I could either cancel everybody's credit card and say, hey guys, we're not charging anymore, the service is now closed. But that wasn't what I was made of. I had taken imperfect action. I made a product and I knew it had potential. It was going to get traction. I realized after doing some research that we need this product called Strong Mail. So we pieced together our credit cards and we bought the component and we added it to the software. The software started to work, and today we have thousands of fitness professionals who use this software to mail out. Now, my point is, had I not taken imperfect action from the beginning, had I waited to do all the research, to look for perfection, just realizing that it cost me $27,000 for this piece of hardware, StrongMail, would have been the thing that stopped me from making this product. But by taking imperfect action, getting 29 people on board, and feeling responsible to them, I had this need, this desire, this burning desire to make this damn thing work so that I don't let my 29 customers down. And by virtue of that, I've improved the businesses of thousands of personal trainers now through that process. So that's a real-life example of taking imperfect action and then course-correcting as you go.
And the key here, guys, course-correcting, benefiting from feedback. You know, I always say, like in school, you get graded in A, B, C, or D. What Bedros is saying here, stop waiting to ready for the A. When you're at a B or a C, get going, get moving. Use the feedback from the marketplace, from the technology that you need. Use his words, course-correct. And I believe if you follow what he just shared, you can accomplish more in the next 90 days than you have in the last 2 years. That's the power of taking imperfect action and just getting going here. Bedros, I'm going to put on my jealously guarded, internationally recognized two-minute warning here. And I'm going to go through three or four concepts here. We'll rock and roll, we'll shake and bake, we'll call it a day here. You know, you have the uncanny ability, the uncanny perspective, the uncanny experience, I guess it might be the best word, to see so many individuals go through the journey of being an employee, finding their passion, wanting to start their own business, being an entrepreneur. And there's a lot of people here listening right now that, you know, their hard programming is employee. It's holding them back in some way. Having spent time with hundreds or thousands of specific entrepreneurs, and looking at the employee versus the entrepreneur, the move from one side to the other, is there one or two things that comes to you that we can share with the person listening to help them make this transition, whether it's in their thinking and their actions, just any jewel that you can share on the difference between the employee and the entrepreneur, or moving to the entrepreneurial side of the equation? Anything come to mind?
Well, the first thing is exactly what you said in the beginning of this interview, which was do something, even if it's a little step, do something today, do something tomorrow to take yourself from being an employee to that entrepreneur. And the other thing is, and this is where people put so much pressure on themselves, Mike, is you don't have to replace your income today. What you can do is see if you can create $100 a month off this new entrepreneurial venture that you want to do. Let's say it's basket weaving. Great. Let's see if you can just create $100 a month. Keep your job, but create $100 a month. And I'll tell you what that'll do. That's going to whet your palate. And all of a sudden, you're going to go, well, I wonder if I can create 200. And before you know it, you're creating 200. That gets the juices flowing. That gets the creative mind thinking. And before you know it, you're creating $400 a month. Before you know it, you're creating half of what your current salary is. And then you come to this place, like I did, and you go, huh, now do I cut back on my lifestyle a little bit and completely leave my job and live off half of what I'm making but know that I can keep growing? And that's what I did. Or do I wait until I can completely replace my income and then quit my job? But the thing that most people do is they put this unnecessary amount of pressure on themselves that I have to do it and I have to do it right. No, you don't. I mean, look, you know, when I get up on stage, I talk about my successes. I don't talk about the supplement business that failed. I don't talk about the four other businesses that failed because people don't get excited about that. But that's where the real lessons are. And so you have to be, and the other thing here is be willing to fail, because when you fail, you're always learning. And failure to me is not, hey, I'm a loser, this didn't work out. Failure to me is, oh, that's just the way it didn't work. Now I know when someone says I'm going to start selling supplements from the spare bedroom in my apartment, I'll be the first to jump up and say, no, horrible idea, and here's why. Instead, sell information, or instead, you know, see if you can drop ship supplements from wherever the manufacturer is versus storing it in your apartment, because I've been there, I've done that. So the two things are, is do something little every day. And the other thing is, you want to go from employee to entrepreneur, just try and make an extra $100 this month doing what you're passionate about. And that passion, it will get stoked, and it'll become this raging inferno. 100 becomes 200, 200 becomes 400. Before you know it, you've replaced your income, and you've added more value to the world, to society, and to your industry than you ever thought possible.
You know what you shared here? I just want you to touch on this. You've shared with us six or seven specific individuals that their books and DVDs and programs have helped you. You putting yourself around positive people. You probably have joined other people's mastermind and coaching programs. I know you have some of your own mastermind and coaching programs. You shared, yes, there is so much free information online. But I'd like you just to comment here real briefly. Investing money in yourself, in the knowledge, in getting around positive people. You know, there's someone listening right now saying, well, how do I find positive people? And then we can go on for an hour with that, but we're not going to do that right here. But there's so many great programs, mastermind groups, coaching programs, networking associations, that if you invest some money, some time, you can really leapfrog yourself, you know, accomplish more in a few months than you had in a year. Have you seen a commonality in the more successful they become, the more financially they invest in their own knowledge and their own associations?
Absolutely. In fact, I today spend and invest more money into masterminds, into networking, into, you know, putting myself around the right people, if that means going to seminars, than I ever have. I think last year in 2010, because we don't have numbers for 2011 yet, we spent nearly $200,000 in getting me to places, whether it was masterminds, whether it was Costa Rica, to do a special workshop, to attend a special workshop, not even to speak at, right? And by doing that, each time I've done that, I've networked. This last place I went to, I actually ended up speaking at Joe Polish's I Love Marketing event, but I got to meet a longtime hero to me, Dean Jackson, you know, one of the greatest marketers. And Dean Jackson and Joe Polish put the event on, and how else am I going to reach out to Dean and speak to him? What am I going to email him? Like, he doesn't get a million emails? But the fact that you're at this event, and now I happen to speak at this one, but at the last one, I went to Dan Kennedy's event. I paid for it, and I went to it. And I got to tell you, the connections I made were priceless. Money, when you spend money on getting knowledge, whether it's through being in masterminds, being surrounded by the right people, going to networking functions, or buying product, money buys you speed. So you can try and be cheap and wing it, and it'll take a while. And that's okay if you've got the time. But once you've got the money to invest, if you don't, you're a fool, because money buys you speed.
One of the things here is, we'll wrap down with this, there's someone listening right now that wants speed. They want to be their own boss. They want to be able to make their own decisions. They want to be able to get started. And literally, what you've shared here, and you talked about in your quote-unquote failures, you know, you have a decade of more, really over 10 years of lessons that you've learned here. There's something that you've created that is just driving people into euphoria, into eureka. The excitement level that I've seen and heard about is just dynamite. And you're providing a select group of people with literally the ability to leverage themselves into a quote-unquote instant, turnkey, successful business. The testimonials on what you create is incredible. And the reason why I want to bring it up here is because it shows how you've used your past, how you've used the lessons you've learned to now transform the lives of so many people. All I hear about is your MyFitBody Bootcamp and your FitBody Bootcamp. What exactly is that, and why are people going bananas about it?
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, talk about incremental growth. And again, you probably won't get anybody else on your show to be as forthright about this information. Look, I had a mental block. I knew At some point, I was making a couple $100,000, and that was great. And there was this glass ceiling, and I had to break through it, and I used all the strategies we talked about here to break through that. Then I was doing, you know, a million, then a couple million, right? And now we're hovering around a few million. But I had this mental block that, well, you know, other people can make north of $10 million a year, but not me. I'll just always be stuck making a few million. And something happened about 2 years ago, and I can't necessarily put my finger on it. I think it's just maturity took hold, the people that I've been around, the being able to rub elbows with guys like, you know, Dean Graziosi, who's doing $100 million a year. Another friend of mine, his name is Alex. I can't give his last name out, but he does $300 million a year. And being able to hang out with these guys, and all of a sudden realizing, wait a minute, you're just like me. There's nothing different about you. And this is where, if you read Psycho-Cybernetics, and you know, here I go plugging Psycho-Cybernetics, and I wish I could make commission from it, since I get so many people to buy this stuff. But everyone listening to this has got to get Psycho-Cybernetics. But, you know, they say, you know, you put this stuff in the back of your mind, in your psycho-cybernetic system, that, okay, now I can make multiple millions. You know, I can do this. And I always had this passion. And in our industry, fitness boot camps always happened in the park. And I always felt there was something wrong with that model, that business model, because there's sprinkler systems, there's the neighborhood dogs chasing you, there's dog poop that your clients are going to step on when they're working out. There's obviously all this issue with weather, and now many cities are cracking down on boot camps, fitness boot camps, which is pretty much group personal training that happens in parks. So I knew there was a model that was broken, and I knew that I had this limiting glass ceiling on making north of $10 million. And so all of a sudden, the two came together when I realized I can help recreate this industry by making boot camps, putting boot camps indoors and making it a turnkey business model, a franchise, which is what we did. And all of a sudden, that now has the potential to take me financially where I want to go, which is secondary, because my primary goal, and I always say this, is I feel I am the ultimate personal trainer, because for every personal trainer that I help get more clients, I help more of the end users, right? They lose weight, they have better lifestyle, they feel better about themselves. And so I figured, gosh, if I can help move boot camps from all these bad conditions they have in the park to indoor boot camps where they have more workout times, their weather doesn't affect them, et cetera, and lo and behold, we created Fit Body Boot Camp, which is a franchise, turnkey franchise system for indoor boot camps. Now, what's amazing is we thought it was going to have modest growth. And, you know, by modest, we figured, you know, we'll get a couple locations per month, and over time, we'll have thousands of locations. Well, we launched it in late 2009. And since then, we've got over 310 locations worldwide. And it's been amazing to me. I feel like I'm on top of the world, that I get to help so many fitness professionals own their own legitimate small business, not running a business out of the park, but actually having a business, a building to work out of, a business that can they can build legs and sell if they want, that I get to help so many end users. And, of course, so many entrepreneurs now are coming on board and saying, hey, look, this is a turnkey model. I want to get on board because I've never seen a franchise system for $10,000. You look at your typical franchise business, and we're talking $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 plus. And so my business partner and I, Steve Hoffman, we've just created something brand new, and it's just taken off like gangbusters.
And what's so exciting here, if I heard you correctly, whether you're just an entrepreneur who wants to be their own boss, or you have a passion for fitness, it doesn't necessarily matter, because you're providing a turnkey system that anybody can use that takes some initiative and some action to really build additional recurring income and wealth for themselves. Is that accurate?
Absolutely right.
Guys, to get more information, learn more about Bedros, and learn more about Fit Body Bootcamp, which is so incredible. The more I looked into it, the more this is such a great thing for you to check out if you're interested in being your own boss. You want to go to www.myfitbodybootcamp.com. Let me say that again. Write this down. Go to www.myfitbodybootcamp.com. Go check it out. Learn more about Bedros. Learn more how he's putting people in their own business to be their own boss. This has been an extraordinary dance here, going from A to Z, from challenge to failure to massive success. Bedros Koulian, thank you so much for appearing on The Mike Lipman Show.
Mike, thank you so much. It was an awesome pleasure.
And now, the post-game show with Mike Lipman.
Bedros Koulian, what an incredible information he just shared. Now, you're about to enter the post-game show. In the post-game show, I take 3 points that are guest shared and help you apply it into your life. Let's roll up our sleeves and let's get going. Point number one. Bezos talked about the importance of taking imperfect action. Imperfect action. There's got to be one thing that you've been putting off. There's got to be one thing you've been holding on to, waiting to become perfect, waiting till the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed. My friend, in the next 72 hours, 3 days, what is one thing you can get going? What is one imperfect action you can take? It will help you move forward. It will increase your confidence. Just get going in perfect action. What an incredible point. Point number two. Bezos talked about coming from Russia and the incredible negative money beliefs that are held him back. Imagine your family from the Communist Party in the Soviet Union. I mean, that's a life experience that, you know, probably you and I have not had. But the point of the matter is so many of us have challenges with money beliefs. I want you to think about what is one belief about money that you have that's holding you back. Bezos talked about even going from 7 figures to 8 figures, he had to overcome limiting beliefs. Find and isolate and become aware of one belief that's holding you back. Shine the light on it. Work to override it, work to overcome it. Use what you heard today, and I'm telling you, you'll feel so much better and your results will shine. Point number three. Bezos talked about over and over and over again. He really drilled home the point of you have to surround yourself with positive people. Listen, Bezos talked about the ability to leave his friends at some time because what he wanted and what they wanted were two different things. Let's shoot for the next week or sooner. Find one person that's new in your life at a networking association, chamber of commerce, somebody online, somebody in social media. Find someone who you can start bringing into your network, someone who can start working with that can help you move forward. Imperfect action, the power of transferring and accepting new money beliefs and surrounding yourself with powerful, positive people. And remember, you can learn more about me and listen to past shows at www.mikelippman.com. And always remember that you don't have to get it right. You just have to get it going.
You've been listening to The Mike Littman Show. To learn more about Mike and the show, go to MikeLittman.com. All content and material is copyrighted and may not be used without the express written consent of Connect to Success, LLC.